Blog Talk Radio.
Of Midlife with Wendy Berry, your host for this evening. And I'm so happy that you chose to be here with me this evening on this wonderful Tuesday night. I'm excited to be able to share this program with you. And I wanted to start the evening out with a saying that came across on Facebook this week. And I thought it was pretty amazing. It said, I think we should start referring to age as level. So when you're level 80, it sounds more badass than just being an old person. And I don't know about you, but all week long since I've seen that, I have just felt wonderful being at level 57. Somehow, just changing that to a level instead of an age seems to brighten my week. If it also brightens your week, then you just take it and run with it, and you can be at whatever level you want to be at. So I want to let you know, first of all, that this is a call-in radio show if you're on live, and we love participation. And that number that you can call in on is 646-716-7979. So if you have any questions or you want to chime in on whatever we're talking about this evening, please feel free to do that. And I have the most wonderful guests this week. I had the great opportunity of meeting Christian Marie Heron and working with her, I want to say it was about a month ago. And she is an intuitive business coach and storyteller. And when I was looking on Facebook, I don't know, I'm guessing you guys watch your Facebook. I love Facebook. I meet all kinds of great people. And what stuck out for me that caught my attention was storyteller. And I was looking for what is my story and who am I and what is my work about. And I had the great opportunity of being able to work with her. And it truly was a magical experience. I learned so many things about myself. In working with her, I was amazed. And she was able to, it's almost like she had all these wonderful balls of yarn that I gave to her, and she was able to create a tapestry and pull all that together. And so without further ado, I would like to introduce my guest this evening, Ms. Christine Heron. Are you there, Christine?
How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Good, good. So I'm really pleased that you said that you would come on with me and share about the work that you do. And so can you do me a real quick favor? Tell me if I've been pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Christine or Christian? How do you pronounce it?
It's actually Christian.
Christian. I thought maybe I was not doing that right, and I want to make sure that I am saying your name correctly, so thank you very
much. That's okay. Sure.
So I know that you work with people that are setting up their business and looking at their story, and I want to spend a little bit of time about talking about what you do for your business, but I'd really like to have you share about how did you get involved with working with business, you know, as a business coach from the direction of being a storyteller, Christian. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So how I originally got started in business was about 3 years ago, and my original focus wasn't on storytelling at all. It was actually it was a coaching practice, and because I'm an introvert, I thought since I had a pretty successful career in the corporate world in HR, I thought that my best course of action would be to be a coach for introverted professionals. And so that was my main focus the first, I don't know, 6 to 9 months of my business. And I met a lot of really wonderful people, but I had no paying clients. So I knew I had to switch gears. And so when I took a step back and, you know, got on the phone with people and asked them, you know, started asking them what they really needed help with. And they said, you know, Christian, what I could usually really use help with is how to talk about myself and my work in ways that feel good. And so that sort of was the catalyst or the spark for me that set me on the path of helping people tell their story. I've, you know, always been a writer. I've always had some form of communication in all of my different job roles that I've had when I worked for someone else. So I wanted to try and marry my writing ability with my ability to really listen very deeply because, you know, as an HR consultant person, I spent a lot of time listening to people, not quite like a counselor, but really listening for things that almost weren't said and really picking up the threads of the conversation to be as helpful and be as of service as possible. So I decided to marry those two together with the storytelling piece, and I really had no idea in the beginning how that was going to work. And so how I tested it was I belonged to a very small networking group, all women, and I said, one night I just said, you know, what do I have to lose? So I posted an offer in one of the groups and said, you know, I'll help you tell your story. You can use it as copy on your site. It'll help you stand out. You can use it in your marketing materials. You can use it to have conversations with people, sales conversations. That's really how I positioned it. And I said, I have 4 spots in April. And within 24 hours, when I woke up the next morning, I had all 4 spots filled. So I knew I was on to something. And those 4 wonderful women were my beta testers for the work that I do now. And they're in a variety of different industries. One was a social media expert. The other one ran wonderful retreats in Bali. Another one was a relationship coach. And the fourth one, she was a web designer. So very different focuses, very different niches. And I was able to help them craft their story, and each of them really loved the work that I did. So from there, my work has really grown in helping not only business owners that are just starting out, but also I've been working with people who actually own brick-and-mortar businesses, you know, physical buildings. I'm working with a wonderful woman who owns a yoga and wellness studio in Massachusetts. And I worked with another one that owned something similar, but her focus was more on energy work and Reiki, and she was based in Georgia. And they both want to bring their business to the next level. So that's the work that I've been doing and helping people really position themselves. That's really the benefit of learning to tell your story, take all of those experiences that seem, you know, how do I get my arms around all of the things that I do, all of my experiences and all of my gifts, and weave them together in a way that's cohesive and resonates with the people I want to be working with. So that is basically how I got my start.
Oh, fabulous. So, so Christian, share a little bit about how your process works. You know, so you're weaving things together. How do you go about getting all those little threads so that you can weave them together?
Yeah, so the way I work is it's actually changed a little bit since you and I work together, but the process is basically the same. So when someone signs on to work with me, what I do is I send out some questions that are designed to be very introspective, and I don't care at all about spelling or grammar or any of those kind of things, but I ask questions that are customized based on the initial conversations that we have, because I need to first get an understanding of what people are wanting and needing and how they want to present themselves and that kind of thing. And so it really primes that the subconscious to pull out some of those threads. And a lot of my clients don't even realize that they're doing it when they're writing. And I love that because when they send their responses back to me, I'm able to pull out certain phrases or messages or metaphors, patterns, that they typically wouldn't see on their own. So that really starts the process of threading together their story. But the other component that I really started to do in embracing more of my woo-woo side, for lack of a better term, is I really feel into people's energy. So when people send me their responses back in written form, I do what I call a self-guided meditation. And I work with some crystals, and the visions that I have on behalf of my clients really help me really bond myself to the clients and really help enhance the session that we have together. And, you know, the meditations and the visions that come through are very metaphorical for people's work, and it runs the gamut. Sometimes it's just a matter of me dropping down into the experience of what it was like for them as a child and being able to express that feeling without using graphic language. Or it could be something symbolic, like seeing, you know, a horse flying through a heart in the sky, and it's symbolic of freedom and where that person wanted to take their business. So it just really depends what I see for them, and I really let the crystals guide me in terms of what I see.
Well, that would really stand out as something very different from what people normally envision business coaches. So that, I mean, when you talk about being intuitive, you're really tapping into those feminine energies that you have to be able to bring out a whole other side to business coaching.
Yes. So, and that's why I call myself an intuitive business coach. I do use a lot of my intuition, a lot of my ability to channel certain energies and things like that. And when I'm actually in session with clients, it's very natural for me to have messages come through. And I always check, you know, I will always phrase it like, what's coming through for me, for you, is this. And that's really, you know, me being aided by my guides to help bring messages, to bring interpretations, to bring you the thing, you know, bring my clients the things that they need to hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that was something that I found really amazing when I was working with you, was what came through for a thread for me was very much had to do about magic and that what came for me, and it's been developing since we worked together, is how much of, when I think of magic, is that ability to be childlike and to look at things in a wondrous way and be able to see how things unfold in just truly magical ways that they do in life. And that's been something that's really run through my life is, ever since I was a kid, I was just drawn to kind of fantasy and magical kind of thinking. And and that really resonated when you and I worked together. And so it started me on this whole kind of journey and path of unfolding for myself and my own understanding. That's one thing that I just really appreciated about the time that we spent together was your intuitive insight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and the other thing that I wanted to mention that you mentioned, you know, the childlike wonder of magic and that kind of thing. Very often when I have these guided meditations, I often see children, and the children usually will have a crown of flowers. And for me, they're guides. They're usually guides for my clients. But they're typically children, which is interesting.
Well, you know, it has been said that the children would lead us. So.
Mm-hmm. And they because one of the things that I always ask my guides is, you know, please show me what I need to see for whoever my client is. Please let me, you know, please show me what I need to see. And that the children will very often lead me to whatever the vision is that I need to see.
Well, what I found is if I will tap into that childlike quality within myself, then I have way more fun in the work that I'm doing. And I find lots more things fascinating. And something I have to share with you and the listeners tonight, I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, when you're around like two-year-olds, and they're going, how come this is the way it is, and how does that work? And and who is that and why is that going on? And I said, you know, the older I get, the more like a two-year-old I am. I want to know how everything works and why it's the way it is. And I can go off in like a gazillion different directions wanting to learn and absorb. It's so wild that I was like that when I was a little kid. And then as I got older, then it just kind of status quo and whatever. And now that I'm older, I want to know more things. So that's just a sidebar of my own experience this last week or so.
That's wonderful. Well, it's you're allowing your natural curiosity to guide you. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. So what is it like, I mean, when people, if somebody is starting a business or they have a business and they're really wanting to look at how can they feel more connected to their business? You know, they feel like that's what they want to do, but it's almost like your story helps to kind of mesh that together and bring some increased connectiveness to the purpose for their business, right?
Yeah, that's one purpose of you know, being able to understand your story, and really the benefit of understanding your story and how to, you know, articulate your story is really a matter of pulling out all of the value, you know, really mining your life experience for the work that you do. Because, you know, when I work with clients, you know, I typically guide them back to their past. I want to know about their childhood. I want to know, you know, what it was like growing up in their families, what some of their hobbies were like, because, you know, that's where the gold, if you will, of the story is that there's typically something in your past that, you know, keeps repeating, maybe in different forms, and maybe it manifests in different ways, but it's typically those aspects that you experience when you were young, those experiences that you experienced when you were young, that connects you to your business, and then also connects you to the hearts and minds of the people who want to be working with you, because they find resonance in your story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's working with you, what does that, I mean, is it, can you share with the listeners about what your coaching program is like?
What sure. Is that? So right now, yeah, I'd be happy to. So there's actually two different ways of working with me. So there is a VIP intensive day, like you worked with me, where I work very closely with my clients. I send out the questions, like I mentioned before, that are customized to the person. And then we work very closely for about 3 hours during the session, and it's very interactive. It's not me just saying, here's your story, see you later. It's me checking. It's me having done my research and my homework. Sometimes I'll research certain archetypes that come through for clients, or you know, certain symbols that keep coming through, especially during the guided meditations. Very often, what I've been doing recently is, you know, picking out certain crystals that call to me based on, you know, my assessment of the energy that I'm connecting with for my clients. So that's the intensive session. The other way of working with me is actually brand new. It's a 6-month mentorship program. And that's designed to really help business owners take their business to the next level, but in a very aligned, intuitive way. And what I mean by that is I don't, you know, subscribe to the traditional ways of marketing yourself or being more visible online or offline. I really tap into the person's energy and teach them to use their own intuition in terms of really creating their own inner guidance system that helps them make decisions across the board in their business, who they want to work with, what services they want to offer, how they want to package them, what their revenue goals are, you know, how big they want to grow, that kind of thing. And we plan out 12 months of marketing. There's a couple of bonuses that I offer. I work with a few talented artists, and one of the things I have as part of that package is a customized illustration that's reflective of their business or their business vision, which I really love. And I also offer some money clearing So if my clients have some money blocks around certain money goals that they have, I have someone that's a wonderful practitioner and does some energy clearing there.
Oh, fabulous. So how is the best way for anyone listening that is interested in doing some work with you, how would they get a hold of you, Kristen?
So the best way for people to get a hold of me, there's a couple different ways, but probably the best way is to go to my website, which is my name. It's www.christianmarieheron.com. I also have a Facebook page, same name. I think it's Heron Media, and it's hyphen Christian Marie Heron. You can find me there, and people send me messages all the time. I love to get private messages, and that's the other lovely part of working the way I do, is that I'm very big on building relationships. That's how I, you know, start all of my marketing and nurture all of my relationships first. And typically the clients who come to me will send me a private message, which is really nice instead of trying to hunt down people all of the time. But that's the thing I love to teach people to do, because we all have that capability. It's just a matter of finding, you know, the doorway in to feel comfortable doing that.
All right. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Kristen or myself, the number to call in on is 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you if you would like to call in. So, Kristen, something that I'd like to talk to you about is storytelling, not just for business, but how important it is in life to be able to tell our story, even if it's not for business, but just for, you know, with our families or our friends. How do you think that storytelling about one's life plays into that?
Yeah, I think that's actually one of the most beneficial aspects of my work with clients. It's not so much helping them from a business development or business growth standpoint, but it's really getting them as an individual to really embrace who they are and understand just how wonderful they are and all of their gifts. And the work that I do has a healing element to it as well. And so very often what I'm told is that through my work and the session work that I do with my clients is that I'm able to heal, you know, stories that they had been carrying, false stories they had been carrying about themselves or ways they've been perceiving themselves. And it really is a healing and a release. And a lot of times my clients will cry because it's, you know, me being, again, aided by my guides to really recognize, you know, who they are and how special they are. And so that's I think, probably the number one benefit of really embracing and being able to tell your true story.
Right. And I love that, tell your true story, because what I found in women that are in middle age, and because that's kind of the my group of people that I'm with, is that I find that we carry around a lot of stories about who we think we are. And
right.
Tell them that that's not who we really are. That's what we picked up from society, from our families, from, you know, along as we're getting, you know, getting older, as we're growing through life, that we've picked up a lot of different stories. And I think of it as kind of like we just keep putting layers of clothes on until we don't even know who we really are, because we are so covered up with all these stories that we think are us. And to be able to uncover and just take those layers off and to get to that core truth of who we are is absolutely freeing.
Yes, and I think that's so well said. And I'll share one quick example of how I work with someone who was carrying around, you know, certain limiting stories about herself and about her work. She's a super, super talented photographer, and she was looking to move into filmmaking, and she felt like she didn't have the credentials to go out and start marketing herself as an actual filmmaker. And so when we dug into her story a little bit, it wasn't so much that I was focused on, you know, her childhood or some of the, you know, the negative aspects of her growing up. And I don't necessarily view, you know, experiences, all experiences as negative. I think that there is benefit to having contrast in your life between the light and the dark. And, you know, I think, you know, the Creator created us so that we could experience both, so that we could really value the light and value those experiences. So I think it really helps strengthen us in different ways. So I was really more interested on, you know, hearing what she was passionate about and what she liked to do. And what I learned was that she had just recently picked up playing instruments again after, you know, leaving them aside for 10 years. And part of the reason she left them aside was because she had developed, you know, carpal tunnel and just couldn't physically play. And so when she told me her love of music and certain composers that she loved and certain musicians and just her whole love of imagery, what came through for me for her was that what she actually was a conductor. And she loved that metaphor for her work. And so she, you know, she understood, I helped her understand that the work that she did with filmmaking was actually her creating a symphony between sound and imagery and metaphor, and really helping pull together these beautiful visual pieces that were multi-sensory for her clients. And she really loved, you know, me helping pull that all together for her, and that helped give her confidence when she went out and started marketing herself as a filmmaker.
And that's so beautiful, that that whole imagery of creating this magnificent symphony, both visually and through sound, and just being able to pull all that together is wow. That was like a great image to me, and I can understand why that would be very powerful for her to be able to own that about herself. And so something is that I think we talked about it when we were talking, and it has to do with how important historically storytelling has been. I mean, the role of storytelling throughout the ages and how it has a place in society, and why we've kind of lost that the value of storytelling. And
yes,
because we've gotten, you know, we have movies and we have all kinds of things that visually stimulate us. However, I think that there's a missing part to society, which is the storytelling.
Yes, I think there's a missing part. Yeah, I do. I think that storytelling is a bit of a buzzword in the business world, but it's nothing certainly new. And like you said, it's something that's ancient. It's something as old as human beings have existed, where knowledge and history and morals and stories were passed down by word of mouth from one generation to another, or within a village, or however a particular society was set up. And the value of that was so that human beings could understand their life experience and what was happening to them, and have another way to make sense of, you know, how they fit in the world is probably the best way I can describe it. And there are certainly cultures today who still practice, you know, storytelling as, you know, a very ingrained part of their social structure. I think the Western world suffers from not having that, or, you know, becoming very unattached from having that. And I think that if we look at, you know, the United States, for example, and with the rise of an industrial society and families moving away from, you know, their core family to find work, they become separated from the culture and their history and that kind of thing. And certainly not in all cases, but I know it's true for me and true for a lot of my friends. You know, I'm a Connecticut native. I live in Florida. All of my family lives in Connecticut. And it's harder to keep that bond together when you're separated by geography. So I think it's really important to, you know, keep that tradition alive of sharing different stories. And typically what happens is people will wait until a crisis happens, someone dies or something like that, where they feel compelled or moved to share a story about when the person was alive or when that person was well. So, you know, we shouldn't wait for those types of events to occur. It should be part of, you know, really sharing our experiences. And I think women do it more naturally in friendships, in smaller circles that they are part of. But I think there's really a benefit to having women, you know, across the world in the female feminine collective to really share their story, share their wisdom is really, I think, what's missing. And I think that if women really invest their time in looking and seeking ways to find community and share their stories, it can uplift, you know, everyone. And so that's where I think the benefit of storytelling can come in. And I think it's up to us individually to really, really impress upon, you know, midlife women, younger women, especially midlife women, to really teach the younger women, you know, the importance of sharing all of those traditions. My father is here visiting from Connecticut, and he happens to like a show. I forget the name of the show, but it's about a family, the Kelcher family in Alaska, and the name of the show escapes me. But he's so drawn to it because this is a family that's completely self-sufficient. They can, you know, all their vegetables and their fruit, and they have, you know, cattle. They smoke their meat, and they're just completely self-sufficient. And primarily because that family unit has stayed together. They haven't moved. All of the sons that are grown, you know, found wives and are married, but they're all in the same vicinity. And so they're able to, you know, contain this wonderful way of living and their traditions and share their stories and that kind of thing. So that's what was evoked for me when he was telling that. And I remember saying, I don't know how to can vegetables. You know, my family just didn't grow up that way. And that's just a small example, but it's not so much the action of canning vegetables. It's the knowledge that gets passed down. And I feel like a lot of us miss out on that knowledge and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been thinking about storytelling and how that plays in and with carrying on that wisdom. And in this day and age, we have a lot of digital information. I mean, if I want to know something, all I have to do is Google it. And it's going to mm-hmm. give me information. But there's
right.
truly a difference between information and knowledge.
Right.
Information is something that I can read and I can go, okay, yeah, that's good stuff to know. But I don't have the knowledge or the understanding of it because I haven't experienced it. And so looking at what do I have to say, what do I have to offer my granddaughter? You know, what words of wisdom do I have to offer to her? And she is in that place of, if I want to know something, I can Google it.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't understand that there's a difference between that lived wisdom that mm-hmm. becomes part of who we are
right.
versus just some words that come up on a screen if you ask a question, right?
Right.
And so for me, having to figure out that I have that wisdom, and for each woman that's standing in this day and age, looking at what do I have to offer to bring to society that it can't just Google and get the information, I think it's really important for that distinction to be made.
It is really important, and I think I love what you said at the top of the conversation when you read something where age is really about levels. I think that really speaks to or really illustrates very well the whole reason or rationale for passing down information and passing down knowledge versus information, because it's one thing to be able to read something in a book or online, but it's very different when it's infused with meaning And I think that's what's mm-hmm. missing from Google searches and things like that is the meaning aspect. Of why do I need to know this? Why is it important
right.
for me to know this? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so along with being able to – having a story to tell, it's knowing how to tell the story.
Right.
That's really important. And I'm learning that because I can relate facts and information about things that happened in my life, and that's really not telling a story. Telling
right.
a story is about being able to create within another person's mind imagery that they actually become involved in your story, and they can feel where you were at, and they have some kind of connection with it, and you lead them through that story so they have a better understanding and awareness about what you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
very well said.
And that truly is a gift that and an art. When I was watching, I was watching some TV show and just listening to somebody talk, they talked with in such a way that you could feel what it is that they were speaking about. And I think they used to do that a lot more than, when there wasn't TV and radio, because you had to create that kind of imagery to hold audiences or hold people's attention, don't you think?
Right. Yes. No, I absolutely think that. And I think holding the attention is important. And I think what a lot of TV or entertainment nowadays is, it really caters to that, the quick visceral reactions of watching reality TV, because people respond, to drama, to arguments, or to, very, out loud kinds of ways of living. But that doesn't leave you with a whole lot of meaning. I mean, as human beings, we experience drama. That's just part of our human experience. But I think it's much different to actually tell a compelling story. And what I always like to – the way I like to relate this is if you are a type of person who – experiences a lot of mind chatter, most of us typically do it different parts of the day. Meditation certainly helps, and there's certainly techniques that you can calm that. But I've always was fascinated by the fact that, if I happen to wake up in the middle of the night and I can't fall back to sleep and I'll start watching a movie, and I get so ingrained in the movie, and it's not so much that the movie is so great or the storyline is so fantastic, is that I have this space at that time of night because there's none of that chatter in my mind, and I'm really able to focus and really get involved and ingrained with the story. And I think that's what a good story does, is it helps quiet that chatter that's in people's mind, and it makes you memorable, it makes the story memorable. So it's really looking for ways to, capture the person's attention, capture the person's spirit, so that they really connect with you and with the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I think of an image of something that has to do with stories, I think of people around a campfire or in, a cabin or a room, and they have their fireplace going. And I guess maybe it's because it's wintertime and it's coming on Christmas. I don't know. But so you've got the fire and the room is kind of dim and the fire is crackling and you can smell the smoke and it just feels warm and inviting and so you have somebody and they're sitting in the rocking chair and they're telling their story about something that's happened in their life. And it's there's like this quiet openness in the room, just listening. And that's, to me, is like what storytelling is all about, just that kind of bringing it in real close. And you can do that in small groups or you can do it in big groups, because there's wonderful storytellers that speak from stages and they can hold an audience and Mm-hmm. And they're, and everybody's listening for what's going to happen next. And
right.
So, you know, when I remember my grandparents and they would tell stories about growing up and things that happened, I remember how they told stories and they kind of, I just sat there listening to them. And, mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I bring that into a world that moves so fast and there's so much inundation of information to be able to create that quiet space to be able to share that with my family? You know, do you have any suggestions for how people can kind of incorporate this storytelling into their life and be able to be to pass that on to their future generations?
Yes, yeah. I think that you're right. I think setting the stage for actually telling the story so it's actually heard and listened to is very important. And one of the ways that you can do that or your listeners can do that is to be willing to be vulnerable. And it's not that you necessarily have to bare your soul, but you know, in order to really connect with the hearts and minds of people who are really interested in what you have to say, or you believe that by sharing your story, someone else could benefit. That's the other way that I teach my clients to look at storytelling. It's not so much about telling about themselves and their story, but, you know, what aspects of your story do you think someone else right this moment would need to hear? What needs to land right in their heart? And so, and again, one of the ways to do that is to practice being vulnerable and sharing parts of yourself that maybe it's silly, maybe it's a little sad, maybe it's something that's, you know, a funny story, or maybe it's an exciting story, maybe it's an adventure story, something like that. But what matters is how you feel about the story and what you want to leave your listeners with. I think that makes a really big difference. And one of the things I teach my clients to do is if they feel unsure about what aspect of their story they should tell, or, you know, how to even start, because that's the number one question I get. Like, well, how do I start? There's so many things swirling around. How do I even know where the starting point is? And for me, what I always suggest is, you know, start at the point where you feel the most comfortable. And, you know, at the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll get with sharing your story and sharing different aspects. And it becomes really something like, you know, it becomes addictive, where it sort of spreads, where you feel so tuned in to hearing someone else's story and so impressed by someone's ability to share an aspect of themselves that maybe is not quite flattering, or maybe paints them in a sort of silly light. But they still share it anyway because they know that at the end of the day, it's going to help someone else. And so a good way to do that is I have my clients do what's called a life experience inventory. And it's really designed for people to be introspective and go back however far back they want to go, you know, pick out the earliest memories of things that were the most meaningful to them. You know, they could be things big or small. But all that I impress upon them is to really pick things that are meaningful, because those are going to be the connection points for the story. And the more you do it and you go through this inventory, my clients start to see patterns, I start to see patterns, certain metaphors, certain ways of identifying how they are in the world, why they do the work that they do, what lights them up. That's another really important aspect of sharing their story, is being so excited to share what they're passionate about, that, you know, wanting to share it just becomes so natural that, you know, they want to run out and tell everybody. But sometimes people forget. They forget, you know, all of their life experience and how everything is interconnected. And it's the interconnected piece that I think really helps with the storytelling.
Right. So, again, I want to just remind the listeners that the call-in number is 646-716-7979. And if you want to reach Kristen, the best way to do that is either at her website, which is www.kristenmarieheron.com, and you can find that in the replay information that'll go up on Magic of Midlife for this show. Or you can look for Christian Marie Heron on Facebook and find her there. So, Christian, you were talking about having a life assessment and sharing that with the client. So if somebody wanted to start looking at their life and being able to kind of review their life, you know, and I don't know, I started doing that when I moved into midlife. I started looking at my life and going, you know, what is my life about? And, you know, why am I here? And what am I supposed to be doing? And I started having this kind of introspective looking at who I was. So what suggestions do you have for the listeners if they're starting to look at wanting to have more of an introspective look at their life? What would you suggest they do?
Yeah, I think I said earlier at the beginning that it's really important for people to look at their childhood. I think a lot of what people are looking for are there. And I'm respectful of the fact that a lot of people, or not a lot of people, but there are some people who block out their childhood for whatever reason. Perhaps they've had traumatic experiences, things like that. But in almost all cases, the people I've worked with, they're able to remember something, some aspect of their childhood that's very revealing in terms of, you know, who they are, what's important to them, why they do the work that they do, that kind of thing. And for me, if I look back over my childhood, one of the things that I remember very vividly that I like to do was creative play. And so I grew up in sort of a lower middle class neighborhood, and my best friend and I would love to explore. People today would call it trespassing in different people's yards and things like that. But to us, we made up a game where we were on this exploration and we were looking for this magical land. And it just so happened that the neighborhood that abutted mine, that was adjacent to mine, right on the other side of the fence to my backyard, there was this beautifully manicured neighborhood with little white Cape Cod houses with white picket fences and beautiful flower beds and just really beautiful. And it was in such stark contrast to our neighborhood that my friend and I came up with a name. We called it Wonderland. And so it was almost like a Wizard of Oz moment, you know, where Dorothy lands in Oz and it's just this beautiful technicolor world. And I really believe that that's a direct relatable piece to the work that I do now, is I love to be able to, you know, see the technicolor in people's story and their lives and their work. And so I encourage people to look for those type of experiences where they can, you know, point back to why they do the work that they do now.
Yeah. So, and you were talking about some tools that you use for increasing your use of intuition, and so those would translate the tools that you use for your intuition might be a benefit to some of the listeners as they're thinking about how could they kind of tune in to their intuition and feeling guided to understanding themselves better. So you mentioned that meditation, and then you mentioned use of crystals and guides. So how did you learn about those tools, Christian?
So the meditation was pretty much out there in the collective. Everyone said, oh, you need to meditate, you know, that kind of thing. And meditation, I think, means different things for different people. I've just only recently started a really disciplined meditation practice. And so what it looked like before the more formal meditation practice where I have a certain thing, you know, a certain way of meditating every day, and I do change it up, too. I think that's part of really honoring and honing your intuition is leaning into what you feel like doing. And it may not be the practice you do every day. Maybe you want to listen to a piece of inspirational music. Maybe you want to look at a piece of art that uplifts you, you know, that kind of thing. So that's how I got started with meditation. But before I started that was, I mentioned, you know, the mind chatter and all the noise. one of the first downloads that I received related to storytelling was when I was really struggling in my business. Like I mentioned, I was working with introverted professionals, or wanted to work with introverted professionals, and had no paying clients, and was really frustrated. And it was only when I made myself sit absolutely still and shut off all technology, all noise, I didn't read any more books or magazines, I didn't work with anybody, I just made myself sit very still. And the message that came through very clear for me was that it said, you're going to help people tell their story. And I didn't know what it looked like or how I was going to do it or anything like that. But it was my first experience of really having the discipline to just stay still. And I had no expectations. That's the other really important part that I want to share with your listeners too, is that when you make yourself get still, it's a form of meditation, but enter that practice with absolutely no expectations, because that's when your guides will come through, you know, because you're not having parameters or boundaries around what can come in. The other tools that I use in terms of the crystals, that's sort of newer. I've been doing a lot of study about crystals, and honestly, it's as my intuition and my channeling gets stronger, it's my guides guiding me to, you know, incorporate crystals into my practice. The self-guided meditations that I do, I really didn't know I could do it, honestly. And it was only when I worked with another healer, very powerful healer, and I felt drawn to doing the self-guided meditation. So I did it just sort of as an experiment, and I didn't even know if any of it would resonate, but I was really surprised at some of the visioning that came through. And it was, again, allowing myself to just be still, to listen to the music related to the meditation that I was doing. And I had these really vivid visions and shared them. When I shared them with the client, it was validation from her, because she cried right away because she really felt like I captured what it was like for her as a little girl. And so I knew that it was a power beyond me, that I was absolutely aided and guided by my guides to be able to have those visions on behalf of my clients.
Mm-hmm. So something that I find interesting about crystals are used, they're actually used within electronics because they magnify frequency.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so working with crystals helps to magnify the frequencies that we are working at. So when you're looking at your intuition, and there's different qualities to different types of crystals that you can utilize to help bring in and magnify specific energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so utilizing that to kind of increase your intuitive energies, your intuitive frequencies, I think that that is an awesome tool to be using.
Yes, and I'm still learning. I still consider myself a novice when it comes to crystals. All I'm doing right now is really following my intuition. And there's a wonderful metaphysical store in my town where, and it's actually a former client that works there on Tuesdays, so she's been helping educate me on different crystals and their meaning and that kind of thing. But it's just been a really profound and interesting experience to incorporate this into my practice, because I'll feel drawn to certain stones. Like today, I was working with a client, and I was very drawn to apatite, and it's apatite. It's a bluish-green stone, and it actually is a stone that represents the throat chakra. And when I was relaying to her why I was drawn to the stone, she was like, "She said, I've been working on my throat chakra for a long time." So it was very interesting that I was, you know, drawn to that particular stone for her, because it aids in communication and you know, public speaking and that kind of thing. So, you know, even though I don't, you know, at all consider myself an expert, I still, you know, am an expert in myself and trusting myself in terms of being guided to selecting different stones for my clients.
Right. Well, you know, I think that we, I don't think we ever become expert in anything. I think mm-hmm. that the minute that we think we're experts, then we become definitely not experts, because then we have lost the ability to keep learning.
Right. So maybe trust is a better word. So I trust myself to be led.
You're still in that learning, you know, that learning curve, and you're still walking into it, which is a great lesson within itself to know that as, you know, what I've heard you say is I became proficient at this part of my business. And being an intuitive business coach, and each time I learn something new, it takes my business or my ability to help other people to another level. And so it's constantly evolving into something new. And that's really what life is about. It's about evolving and becoming bigger and greater and more expansive than what we were before.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the evolution, I think it's just part of the human experience is to be on that evolutionary journey and to keep expanding and not to put limits on yourself. And I know some people, just by way of their experience or where they find themselves in life, you know, sometimes they give up and they don't want to keep expanding or evolving. And it doesn't have to be in this grandiose way. It can just be a very simple practice, but, you know, just to keep you know, expanding the light that's within themselves, however that feels good to them.
Right. So I want to thank you so much for being on with me this evening, Kristen, because it's always a pleasure to get to talk to you. I just find your work amazing, and I think that you are one of those wise, wonderful women in the world that are leading next generations, and I'm so thankful to have gotten to meet you and have you in my circle of people that I know.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Wendy. You know that. I hope you do. Thank you so much.
I do. So something I want to share, part of being able to tell stories is about being able to be in the moment and be able to create memories about what's going on with you today. And coming into the holidays, be open to the things that are around you. Be open to new experiences. Be open to being vulnerable and loving with the people that you're around. And in that moment, you will create the memories that will build the stories that you share with your family. And I thank you all for being on tonight. Thank you, Michael. Good night, folks.
Coach on Fire Radio.